Who wants to praise the Lord tonight in this house? We have had a wonderful weekend so far. We just give the Lord all the glory and honor and praise for showing up. We just welcome you tonight, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are the honored guest in this place. And we have the privilege to worship you in spirit and in truth in this house tonight. Can we just celebrate the Lord tonight and say, thank you, Lord Jesus. This is all about you tonight. We thank you. We thank you. We worship you tonight. We welcome you. We welcome your Holy Spirit. We're going to worship the Lord, and we'll introduce Mel Tari, our honored guest as well, later. But we're just going to worship the Lord tonight. So we just want to open tonight and say, Lord, we celebrate you. We celebrate you and love you, and we praise your holy name. You are worthy of all honor and praise and glory and dominion. And we thank you, Lord, that you indeed are on the throne. We thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege of communing together with you. We have the privilege of walking under the banner of your love. And we thank you, Lord God, that you are welcome here. And Father, the spirit of wisdom and revelation is here right now to take us to a place where we're lost in your presence. For it's all about you and your presence. We thank you that you are the light of our lives. We thank you that we can honor you with everything inside of us tonight as we worship you and trust you for all wonderful and mighty things to happen. We praise you this night, and we say, open up the gates that the King of Glory may come in. We open up the gates. Can we speak that out, saints? Open up the gates that the King of Glory may come in. Father, we just worship you with all abandon tonight. Glory to your holy name. Glory to you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we were made for loving you. And Father, we can only love because you first loved us. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for this beautiful time of communion with you, Lord. And we look forward to the rest of the evening, O God. Our hearts are fixed on you because we honor you. And as we sing about our hearts being made for love, Lord God, it's because of you, because of your greatness. You are a holy God. You are a majestic Lord. You are Prince of Peace, our mighty counselor, our wonderful counselor. You are wonderful. And Father, we just thank you in this house tonight. We praise you in this house tonight that we have the privilege of gathering together under the banner of your heart. Thank you, Lord, that our hearts are positioned for more and more and more. Father, we just thank you that we have the honor to be able to carry the gospel to the ends of the earth. We thank you, Lord God, that as your carriers of the glory that you have given, O God, it's only belonging to you. As we have the privilege of carrying that, may the very fire of your love burn through us tonight as we listen to Mel. Share with us, Lord God, more of who you are, more of your love, testifying of your greatness, testifying of your mercy, your kindness, your goodness, your provision, your compassion, your might, your power, your magnificence. We adore you in this house. We give you glory. Let's raise our voices to give the Lord glory. We give the Lord glory, for he is risen and he sits at the right hand of our Father. We thank you, Lord, for the beautiful opportunity to celebrate you once again. Oh, may our voices ring with the beauty of your majesty in all that we say and we do. As we sing, as we talk, as we demonstrate the goodness of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Can we all say amen? Amen. Glory to God. Let's give the Lord a praise. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Oh. Yay, God. Isn't God so beautiful? Isn't he wonderful? Let's give him glory. Let's praise him. Let's celebrate him. Not a little, oh, isn't this nice? Let's open our voices and say, I praise you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. This is about you, Jesus. How? 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 Yes, Lord. Oh, may the fire of his burning love just grab us tonight. Hey, that's about him. That's worth shouting about. Amen? Yes. We don't sit in little seats and go, wasn't that special? This is all about the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, and we celebrate him. Every word of our mouth, every action, everything, every declaration, every decree. house should ring with the glory of God. Amen? Amen. Are we charged up? Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, what a privilege and honor to be here tonight. Oh, I get a yellow one. Hallelujah. Can you hear this one? Is this just as loud? Okay, good. Oh, we want to introduce Brother Mel again, Mel Tari. We've had the privilege of having Mel. This is the third time at Frontline, and we're just so grateful to have you here, Mel. Just love you so much. He is a welcome friend, advisor, and just brother in the faith and father in the faith for many. Up it a bit. There we go. And we know that, well, many of you maybe have not heard Mel before. Who has never heard Mel speak? A few of you. Some of you, yeah. That's awesome. You'll have to ask that again so you can see. So we welcome the new faces here, and we invite you to fill out the yellow cards, if you would be so kind. They are sitting in front of you in the pew. So if you want to get a pen there and fill those out, we can keep in touch with you and let you know when Mel's coming again, let you know what's happening. So if you want to fill that out, if you've never visited with us before, or you've had a change of address, phone number, email, or something else, we just want to stay connected. And that's the body of Christ. The Lord says, stay interconnected. Stay together. And the Lord says that this is an opportunity to do that. So if you'd be so kind, fill that out right now, not 3 hours from now, because we won't be here, possibly. So fill that out and put that in the back box on the wall by Dylan. He's the guy in the back holding that up. And pens, he's the man with the pens too, because I think kids have taken our pens. So if you need a pen, fill that out, put your email, phone number, and everything else. And we also want to receive. Oh, I like the word receive. Receive an offering. Oh, what a privilege to give. What an honor to be able to say, Lord, where can I sign? So let's receive an offering for the Lord, and we're going to give that offering to the Lord for the use of the kingdom. And Mel Tari will put that to good use. And we know that. That's a guarantee. And that will be for World Mission International. But you make out your check to either Frontline Worship Center, which is where you're sitting right now, or Frontline Ministries International, which is who we are as well. So either one. So Frontline Ministries International, Frontline Worship Center. Make the check out there. And everything from this weekend goes right to Brother Mel. And then you can put a little post-it note on the bottom. If it's tonight, don't worry about it. If it's later, make sure we know that it's for Mel Tari, okay? We'd like to have you get that in tonight. And again, the box is on the wall in the back. So this is wonderful. Just a little quick business. If you are high school, college, post-college, young-ish adult, I don't know, we're not going to draw the lines with age. We invite you to an amazing event, which I think is next weekend, isn't it? Yes. This is our retreat. Oh, 2 weekends from now. I'm really got to get that right. 2 weekends from now, it's called Oasis, and it will be really good. This will be a time away from the Lord, and you will be blasted into a great place of joy and peace and amazing things that God has in store. So just raise your hand, or you'll receive, if you don't raise your hand, you just receive a little flyer from those who are passing those out so that we can encourage you to come. But again, fill out the yellow cards so we can stay in contact with you. We didn't want you to miss that. Also, we do have some information out in the front. If you would like to come and make Frontline a place where you come back and visit, that would be great. If you have a church home, bless God. If you don't, we'd love to invite you for more celebration of the goodness of God. There's so many wonderful things happening in the body of Christ right now, and we would invite you to be part of that if you don't have another place. I just want to introduce Mel to you. Mel was part of, it's amazing. How are you part of a revival? You know, an Indonesian revival back in the 60s, and for 45 years, Mel has been walking in the fire and the power of the Holy Ghost. He didn't waste time. He just said, yes, I'm going for you, God, all the way. So Mel is just a dynamo in the spirit because of the Lord. And he's just a powerful, simply powerful man of God who just relies on Jesus. He gives all the glory to Jesus Christ. And that's what I love most about him. Because when you see Mel, you know Jesus is moving and talking and working through him. And he's touched my life and Bill's life so amazingly in our whole church family. And we're forever grateful to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords working through you, my friend. So we bless God. Mel has seen God move tremendously. You know, you want to see or hear about blind eyes opening, deaf ears opening, lame walking, you know, dead being raised, good stuff like that. Mutes, deaf mutes hearing and talking. Oh, Mel has seen thousands and thousands. Millions have been saved by the Lord in Indonesia and all around the world. It's one of the greatest moves of God. But God never limits himself, because that's not God. And he says, look who I am, but there's more. And so we're here to hear about the past, but be propelled into the more. The fire of God for the more that's coming. Who's ready for that tonight? Are you ready for that? Let's welcome Mel Tari. God bless you, my good friend. I love you so much.
Praise the Lord. What do you think if I told you that just by chance you are standing in the sight of the Red Sea? And there is an old prophet that just came from the mountain with a staff in his hand. And somehow he has heard the voice of the Lord. And the Lord said to him, point that staff toward the Red Sea and it will open for my people to go. Can you imagine if you were there? I'm not talking about just reading it here in the Bible, Dr. Tom. I have to, you know, appreciate my brother here and the place that God has put you in the world of education and in the university. Because tonight is the night that I believe is going to change the destiny of many. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, church is not the place where you just go and sort of kind of sing a few songs and pat each other in the back and go home. No. If that was the way then and before, it is not the way it's going to be tonight. Because tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is the time and the place, and what is going to happen tonight in your heart and through you and through each one of us here, it will be a night that heaven will always remember. And heaven will never, hell will never forget. Now those of you who just came in tonight here, you're just wondering why these folks knows about it. The reason they did, because they've been here last night and this morning. So they're a little ahead of you. But you can catch up. This will be the night that heaven will always remember. Now you are, you know, friends together. So she knows about it. You got to catch on here, girl. And this is going to be the night that hell will never forget. Because this is the night that you are here, ladies and gentlemen. And this is the night not to hear only about what God has done, but to allow yourself to hear God propel you unto the fullness of your destiny. So imagine you were there 4,000 years ago, and this 80-year-old man, 80 years old, can you imagine? Most of us haven't been there yet. So we are on our way to that particular time. This man pointed the rod toward the Red Sea. And all of a sudden, ladies and gentlemen, something that has never occurred in the history of mankind took place. It was the first time and it was the last time. But it was the time where destiny of nations were changed. The enemy was buried under the water as God's people were set free to go to the promised land. Can you imagine being there in person instead of watching the Ten Commandments, that Cecil movie that Cecil B. DeMille produced? Now, that movie was kind of exciting. But let me tell you, as exciting as the Ten Commandments movie was, it is a blockbuster, as everybody said. It is half nearly the reality and the excitement of the real McCoy, so to speak, if you could have been there. But ladies and gentlemen, we are born at, you know, a couple thousand years too late, and that is just something, a history or a recorded acts of God that we read in the Bible. Can you imagine, ladies and gentlemen? It was Sunday morning. You were there in the room. And the room, the doors were closed because you were wondering, you know, some people might do you harm. You aren't sure, but you never know. And the reason you're wondering is because they just crucified the master 3 days ago. And so you're a little apprehensive. You're probably praying for a little protection and leaning to each other for a little comfort, because so far you couldn't quite understand yet what was going on. How can he who said life died. Now that is hard to understand. And so you were there in the room there, and all of a sudden, the doors were still locked. Nothing changed as far as your outward surrounding. Then all of a sudden, in the midst of you, he stood strong and say, peace be unto you. Oh, your mind couldn't quite grasp it. How can that be? But your eyes was very clear who you see. You heard the voice that say, peace be unto you. Your mind were twirling with the question, how can he get in? Because the door was still closed. Well, I guess this is a new day. This is something that we have never seen before. But the fact that we haven't seen it before doesn't mean we can't see it now. Never limit God by your experience in the past. Because your experience in the past cannot be used as a standard for what God is going to do today. Because if God is bound by your past experience, then you and I are doomed for failure and will never advance to the fullness of what God has. But you see, God being God, he's not going to be boxed up by man's limitation nor man's past experience. Because God will burst through. And in the midst of a close environment, he show up and change the whole destiny of nation. And so, ladies and gentlemen, you know, as we are worshiping the Lord here tonight, the Lord spoke to me and made it very, very clear. I would respect it. I would appreciate it very much if you can give me your full attention. Not because I'm here up front with my nice Indonesian batik here. This is, you know, a very nice Indonesian shirt, you know. Now for you ladies that you might like a little bit of the artwork, you know, it takes them probably a year to make this this shirt here. Not the sewing part of it. That's, you know, probably, you know, a couple hours. But taking the hot wax and designing every flower in this shirt here. It's done by hand, you know. This one here, but, you know, nowadays they print it, you know, so the machines do it. We appreciate that. But this is the art that developed in my country, Indonesia, for thousands of years, you know. And so you're not coming not to appreciate the arty side of this shirt, even though, you know, it's pretty decent, you know. But you come here tonight, ladies and gentlemen, because there is something that God wants you to grasp. But not only so that you can grasp something from God, but God wants to propel you unto something that you have never dreamed possible. There is somebody out there in Mercy Hospital, or a hospital somewhere in the state of Ohio, that is waiting for somebody that is sitting here tonight to come over to the ICU unit and said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And that person is going to be healed. There is somebody out there that one of these days, maybe 2012 or maybe 2014 or maybe 2016, will run for office as a congressman from Ohio, or a senator from Ohio, and he will be elected so that he can be a part of what God is going to do in propelling America to fulfill her destiny. There is somebody sitting here tonight that God is going to impart to you revelation knowledge like he did to Isaac Newton, or what like he did to, what's his name from the telephone there, company there? What's the name? Thomas Alva Edison, and some of the great minds in the past. Somebody sitting here need to tap in unto that revelation knowledge. Because like the Bill Gates of the past and the Michael Dells of the yesterdays, there is somebody here, ladies and gentlemen, that will make Google look like nothing, because they're going to tap into God and release unto the church and unto the nations the knowledge that will literally change the destiny of nations. There is somebody sitting here tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that God is going to send you to the nations and you are wondering what he's going to do. And when you walk over there, you're going to see the death race. You're going to see the blind see and the crippled walk. Because, ladies and gentlemen, tonight is the night that if you listen to the voice of God and his word and believe it and allow his passion to propel you unto the nations. Ladies and gentlemen, this will be the night that heaven will always remember. Because this is the night that the army of the living God is rising. This is the night that the church, you, are going to hear the voice of the Lord that said, you give them something to eat. You do it, man. You do it, boy. You do it, girl. You do it, my friend. You do it. Don't wait for another Catherine Kuhlman to show up. Don't wait for another Billy Graham. Don't wait for another somebody from the past that you have read about. Be thankful for what they have done. But you are the new generation. You are the one who is going to rise. You are the Moses of today. You are the disciples of today. Why, gentlemen? Because Christ in you is the hope of glory. Nobody, I and you who live according to the word of the Lord. No longer you and I who live according to the writers of the letters to Galatians. But it is Christ who live in you. The Christ who created the universe. Who spoke long time ago in the beginning of time. Let there be light. And that light exists and has never been diminished. It is that Christ who lives in you tonight. I came tonight to you, ladies and gentlemen, because in my humble 64 years of existence, and especially these last 45 years, I have seen God change the destiny of nations. I have seen the death race. I've seen water turns into wine. I've seen God does things that totally boggle the mind. But it is natural for a supernatural God to do. And I'm here tonight not to tell you a story of the past, but I'm here tonight to let you know that God wants you to propel you into a future that will literally change the destiny of nations. And you ain't too old for it. No, you aren't. Because Moses started when he was 80. So you have a little way to get there and got ready to get there. And when Moses started when he was 80, he ran until he was 120. So nobody in this room is too old. No, nobody in this room is too young. Because Jeremiah was called and God knows him when he was in his mother's womb. David was 15 years old when he was anointed so that he can destroy the forces of the enemy. So from the youngest to the 80s, we fit just right in between. We are ripe to be propelled for that which God has for this nation and for the nations. So ladies and gentlemen, don't tell me otherwise, because I'm listening to voices that will try to sap away the life that God has deposited within you. I'm not going to listen and confirm anything that is negative that the devil might have told you. I'm here to affirm you as to your place in the kingdom of God. I'm here to affirm you as to the call of God that is in your life. Young men like you can rise and fulfill your destiny for nations. Because I was 19 years old, just 2 years slightly older than you, when I said yes to Jesus. And the nation of Indonesia, millions of them has come to know Jesus when I said to Jesus 45 years ago, you said yes to Jesus tonight, Nate, and you'll never know what this nation's going to be. Because you are going to impact them in ways that you have never dreamed possible. Because the God who is in you and call you is more than able to fulfill the destiny for which you are born for. Because ladies and gentlemen, tonight we are here in Jackson Township in the great state of Ohio. And somebody told me that Ohio means great, beautiful river. Is that right? Or something like that. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, this great state of Ohio. And Ohio, ladies and gentlemen, has a motto, as a state. What it said there, Doc? Tell me. Oh, Lord. With God, all things is possible. Somebody, the forefathers of yours who live in this state and started long time ago, made a declaration, and the declaration that has been engraved in the motto of the state of Ohio said, with God, all things are possible. Tonight I'm calling you, the citizen of this great state, to affirm that which your forefathers have believed. And not only to affirm it, but allow these words to propel you so that this nation will again rise to fulfill her destiny. Ladies and gentlemen, in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, the Bible speaks about the destiny of nations. But I believe he's speaking specifically about the destiny of the United States of America, because we're here tonight. But this is about the nations of the world. Revelation chapter 21, verse 24 said, the nations. Somebody said, it doesn't say America there. Duh. America didn't exist when this was written. So by the unction of the Holy Ghost, the writer just said, the nations. It is just like, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, so that whosoever. Instead of saying, so that Susan or Bill, if it said the Bill, well, those Bills are happy, but the rest of us who aren't Bill, well, we'll be got left behind. So the wisdom of God allowed the writers of the gospel to say, whosoever. So whosoever means Mel, Peter, Amber, Stephanie, Bethany. I know your name, Bethany. But Stephanie in here, so we have to kind of clue her in. Mary Pat, Paul, Nate, Jim, whosoever. That is why when it say nations, it didn't say Indonesia, but I put Indonesia right there. I put United States of America right there, ladies and gentlemen. Because nations, that is what it said, the United States of America will walk by its light. And the presidents of all those nations and their prime ministers, their kings, will bring their splendor into the New Jerusalem. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Ladies and gentlemen, the time is coming, and it's just in the immediate future, where the glory of the nations will be brought unto the presence of God to honor him. And so that tells me that the United States of America will fulfill her destiny as a nation. For many, many years, this country has sent forth missionaries all over the world. Well, somebody said we're kind of slacking off a little bit. Maybe we have been slacking off lately. But ladies and gentlemen, not from tonight on. If we have been slacking off lately, from tonight on, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be propelled by the passion and the power of the Holy Ghost. America, rise to fulfill your destiny. Because the state of Ohio clearly declare with God, all things are possible. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I'm speaking to you tonight not as a Republican or a Democrat, an independent, a Tea Party or a No Party. I'm talking to you tonight as Americans, as a citizen of the great state of Ohio. I'm here tonight to proclaim to you and to affirm that which has been written in this state here. With God, all things are possible. And so tonight, as Ohioans, we speak to America. Speak it with me, please. In the name of Jesus, we speak grace to the state of Ohio and to the United States of America. We said in the name of Jesus, rise, mighty nation, and fulfill your destiny. Be all God created you to be. So that the nations of the world will come to hear the gospel and will worship Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the glory and the honor of the United States of America will be brought forward unto the presence of the King of Kings in the New Jerusalem to come. Amen. 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 Oh, bless you, Jesus. If anybody trying to tell you that America is going down to pieces, tell them, why don't you just ship your mouth? It is just like the little story. We read this story over in
for our kids when they're young. We have three boys. They're big now, so they don't read them kind of stories no more. You know, they're 23, 20, and 17. So we have three boys. They're three young apostles. One of them are going to run for the president of the United States of America, probably around 1924. So make sure, Ohio, you vote for the young man, because I'm telling you, it's going to be good for the nation, at least in Papa's opinion. One of them is going to be the next, Bill Gates or eBay of America. And one of them probably going to be a little better than the next Billy Graham of America. So three of them boys, so that is just Papa thinking here. But let me tell you, tonight, I'm talking about you sitting here. I'm talking about a nation that will rise to fulfill her destiny. And so when the boys were little, we read them this little story. And I think, I can't quite remember, but this little, what's the Bambi story, or one of them. But the story is that if you don't have anything good to say about anybody, what that story was? Mom, don't say it at all. So I always remember that, you know. And we always tell the boys, you can't say anything good, just zip it. So kindly tell your American friends who has been influenced by the negativity of what they see with their eyes, tell them, just don't say it at all. Because you are the one who are going to rise and proclaim as to the fulfillment of the destination of the United States of America. And for all of you being in college, like the young lady over here, let me tell you that America, in the Harvard days, in the early days, was a school set up and established to train missionaries so that they can go unto all the nations of the world. The higher education in this nation was established by the churches for the purposes of God. And ladies and gentlemen, and Dr. Tom, I just want you to remember this, sir. The time has come that no longer in our higher educations, our kids will be brainwashed with ideas that necessarily bring them down the tube. They're going to hear that the God who created the universe will impart to them revelationary ideas that will totally change the destiny of mankind. Because they're going to be the smartest kids walking down the campuses. They're going to be the new innovators of today. They're going to be the new inventors of this generation. They're the one who will take up where Google and Apple left and bring it to another notch that the next generation will know that this is created by people, by Christians who in the universities, by the power of God, has been given the revelation to invent things that does not exist today, but it will be tomorrow. So ladies and gentlemen, listen to the word of the Lord tonight. Because this is the night, ladies and gentlemen, that hell will never forget. This is the night, ladies and gentlemen, that heaven will always remember. This is the night, ladies and gentlemen, that God is propelling you, the church, to move forward to accomplish that which God has purposed from the beginning of time. And so go back to the story that we have read together, please. In case this is the first time you come here tonight, welcome, welcome wholeheartedly. At least you come tonight, so that's okay. We give you a B- for that. It would have been an A+ if you show up last night and this morning. But you're going to get a little credit for that, girl. Yeah, doctor is back there, so he knows you are here. All right. And doctor, you ain't going to just teach it one of these days. Your kids, they're going to see the demonstration of what you're teaching them. And hear from that school that you're in, young men and young women, just like this one here. She don't know it yet, but he's going to get it. They're going to rise and go to the nation. And they're going to proclaim what God is doing in this generation. Because that is the plan and the purpose of God for this generation. You'll get your credit, but next time you show up the night before and the morning before that, okay? Then it's going to be triple credit.
Sorry, sweetheart. Well, that counts. Doc, give her half a point for that. So I just got you another half a point, so 1.5 for that. But the professor wants you here. It would have been 2 points if you were here, but 1.5 is not too bad. You got to argue it right with these young people because they're smart, you know. So, all right. John chapter 6. Jesus said, have the people sit down. The miracle is going to be the release. But for the miracle to be released, you got to be ready to take it. Now you see, 24,000 people, as Amber here decided this morning. And so if you got 24,000 people and 12 distributors, you can't just let them to be just mingle around and everybody walk whichever way they want to and kids running around. Well, that wouldn't quite work. It just wouldn't quite work out. It would be a little chaos if you want to distribute the food. Just for your information, we are talking about, you know, the 5,000 people that were received the miracle. But it's not only 5,000. 5,000 were only the men. Plus, each one have one wife, so that is 10,000. And then in each family, the way we decided this morning while you are here, so you just have to agree with us. You know, in each family, they got 3 kids. Supposed to be 2.7, because that is the average in America. But we don't want a 0.7 kids to show up, you know, without an arm or an ear or nose or something. So we decide to kind of round it up to 3. So we got 3 kids in every family. So that is 15,000 kids. And so 15,000 plus 10 is 25. But we round it down to 24,000 because the 12 disciples, so each one take care of 2,000. Because if we say 25, then there's 1,000 minus 12, and there's going to be another point something there, and that wouldn't work as far as our calculation. So you got it, girl? All right, thank you. She got it. You guys in that row, you got it? All right. Now you better got it, because I'm not talking hot air here. I'm talking something that's going to change the destiny of nations. And the reason it's important for you to get it, I don't want you to go back and say, what did he say? You know, I kind of like his shirt, but I don't have a clue what was she saying. And I am not going to waste my time, because what is happening tonight, I want you to be a part of it. Because you are going to be the kind of people. You're young, you guys here, you know. And you can change the universities and the colleges of this country. Where you can stand there and say, you know what? Jesus, he is the best. Jesus is the source of all knowledge and revelation. And you, the time is coming here, ladies and gentlemen, is starting tonight, when the colleges and the campuses of this and the great nation, from Harvard to Stanford, from Princeton to Berkeley, and all the points in between, and all the great school in the Ohio Valley. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you that those of you who are sitting here tonight, you're going to let the Holy Ghost to use you so that you'll allow these schools to fulfill their destiny the way it is intended. Because the motto of the state of Ohio said, with God, all things are possible. I didn't know that until tonight, but you better believe it. I'll never forget this one here. Now, this is the state that will literally change the destiny of nations. And I tell you, tonight, again, I want to say blessing to Ohio. And Father, we release your anointing and your wisdom to the Speaker of the Congress of United States of America, Congressman John Boehner. I bless him in the name of the Lord. And let him lead with the fear of the Lord, but with the strength and with the courage that the Holy Ghost will give him. So that the Congress of the United States of America will begin to live according to the great constitution of this country and the reason this country was founded. So that America will again rise and fulfill her destiny according to the word of God. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Devil, did you hear that? Too bad. Jesus said, have the people sit down. Why you have the people to sit down? Because so that there's order, there is an easier way to distribute the bread. And so a group of 50, a group of 100, and so Amber here has 2,000 people, so they're over in that corner. Mary Patty have 2,000 and they're over in that other corner. And Bethany have 2,000, they're over in that other corner. And each one of them have your group. Each one of you who are here tonight have your place in the kingdom of God. And your place in the kingdom of God will be slightly different, but it is important for the overall plan of what God has. Now follow this story with me a little bit here, please. There's 24,000 people that each one receive the bread. They eat and they're satisfied. Now, is it possible that among the 24,000 people that were eating that day, there's a few farmers? Is that possible? Yeah? There got to be a few farmers there. There must be a few people that have gone to the synagogue. They've gone to church in their generation. Is that right? Maybe there's a few pagans, but you know, there got to be a few people that has gone to church. Is it possible, ladies and gentlemen, that in that group of 24,000, there is some professors in the school? Yeah? Is it possible that there is some artistic young ladies that know how to sing in opera? Possible. 24,000, you know, there's got to be somebody who have a certain gifting that was there. Is it possible, ladies and gentlemen, that some of them were the congressman or the congresswoman from Ohio? Possible. 24,000 people, you know. Is it possible, ladies and gentlemen, that one of them probably could be the president of the nation at the time? It is possible. He might be sitting in the White House, so he didn't need the food, but you never know. We are talking about those days, ladies and gentlemen. Is it possible, ladies and gentlemen, that among those who are sitting in the 2,000 that were fed by Jesus there, one of them who worked in a car factory at the time? Is it possible that there's some over there who are a rabbi in the local synagogue? 24,000 people, ladies and gentlemen. And if you divide each one of them to different kind of jobs and position in life, they could probably cover every known job and every known position in the church, in business, and in government that you can imagine. So what is going to happen, ladies and gentlemen, after they all receive the bread and they ate and they're satisfied? Now, unless they're total nincompoops, they probably leave the place and say, oh, well, Jesus produced a miracle. We ate, saved our neck, and now we're going to go back home and we just don't want to remember about that Jesus no more. Now, unless they're total, you know, whatever, you know, they probably think of that. But I think the majority of them, the rabbi and, you know, a couple of his friends walking down from the hill there, going back to the little town that they came from, said, you know what? We didn't got charged for nothing for the food that we got here today. We ate and satisfied. I think from this day on, I'm going to tell people in my synagogue about this Jesus fellow here. I don't quite understand all that he did. But today he did some good, and I was the recipient of his blessing. I was the recipient of the miracle. Well, let us find out from Peter, you know, how did the miracle took place? So on the way down, they said to Peter, Peter, how did that happen? Peter said, I tell you what, I don't have a clue myself, you know. I mean, I wish, you know, I know exactly what happened. But but I know a little bit, you know. Yeah, the producer of the miracle was the master. Me and my 11 other friends, we are simply distributors of the miracle. And you guys are the recipient of the miracle. Now, we talk about it this morning, ladies and gentlemen. In your place in life, Judah, you are either the recipient of the miracle or you are the distributor of the miracle. You will never become the producer of the miracle. Why? Because you ain't Jesus. You ain't God. Thank God you ain't. Because if you are, trouble galore for the rest of us, including yourself, okay? So let us leave the producing side by itself. It's Jesus, the producer of the miracle. Because he was the creator of the universe. He is Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is a wonderful counselor. He is Almighty God. He is everything and everything. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus, Jesus. If Dr. Oral Roberts is here, or my friend Isaac Walker from Kentucky is here, he's going to tell you who this Jesus is. Oh, he knows who this Jesus is, from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. But tonight, I just want to tell you that Jesus, he is the producer of the miracles. He knows exactly what he's doing. And Peter was simply the distributor of the miracles. And one good thing about being the distributor of the miracle, ladies and gentlemen, is that not only you got what you need, but you have plenty to share with your friends and a whole basket to bring back home. A recipient of the miracle only have 10 pieces to eat and be satisfied. Nothing wrong with that, but that is all you got. But a distributor of the miracle have plenty to eat and be satisfied, 20,000 pieces to share with others, and one basket full to bring it home. So ladies and gentlemen, if you talk about the abundant life, let me give you the clue. I was what's this place by Colorado River here the other day? There's an Indian tribe there, the Fort Mojave Indians. I was visiting the chief, they're friends of mine. You know, there's 567 Indian tribes in North America. By the way, they were the original inhabitants of the country here. But they shared, and so we all own the country together. But then you have to give them a little credit, you know. So I always visit with them. I know, you know, probably half of the chief tribes from the Cree Indians in Canada down to the Navajos in Arizona and New Mexico. So I was visiting with my chief friend here in by Colorado River. And the Lord woke me up one morning and told me about the difference between life and life abundance. And the Holy Spirit said to me, most people, and that's probably including you, me, and all of us here, think that abundant life is this. If you drive a Volkswagen, you got life. If you happen to have a Phantom Rolls Royce, that is abundant life. If you have a 3-bedroom apartment, that's life. If you have a 10,000 square feet mountain by the side of the Ohio River, that is abundant life. But that's not it. The Lord told me that that is not the way he looked at it. You know? Maybe that's the way I look at it, but that's not the way he looked at it. He said, whether you drive a Volkswagen or a Rolls Royce, if God gave it to you, that is life. The only difference is you probably owe a fortune on the stupid Rolls. Or if somebody make a ding on your Volkswagen, you say, ah, piece of junk, another ding, so what? So you don't got nervous about it, you just keep on going. Oh, but they put a ding on your Rolls. You're staring about 10 grand sitting right there. So the Rolls is okay. But let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it comes with its own challenges. A 3-bedroom apartment is okay, or house is okay. That is life. But a 10,000 square feet house is also just that, life. It is not abundant life. It is just a house with a bigger mortgage. And very likely, in time of economic trouble, it is probably easier to lose the 10,000 square feet one than the 1,500 square feet one. Because the mortgage is the difference between maybe 15 grand a month with about 1,500 a month. And it's probably easier to get hold or to pay the bill for the little one than the big one. So the big house is just that, the big house. It is life. It is what God has given you. But what abundant life is this? If you take somebody in your little Volkswagen and bring them to church, so the extra space that you have helps somebody who couldn't have a ride to the church. Now that is abundant life. Because you are sharing something that you have with somebody who doesn't have it. Now if you do it with your Rolls, you know, you'll probably have a lot of takers for that if you're going to take them with your Rolls to the church. Then that Rolls become abundant life because you share it with others. But if you're afraid that they're going to sit on your nice leather thing there and kind of mess it up, and you never carry somebody with your Rolls Royce to go anywhere, then your Rolls Royce are simply life, but not abundant life. Because the abundance is the one that we gave away to others. All that you use for yourself, it is just that, life. That's it. It is not abundant life. And so, ladies and gentlemen, God is calling the disciples to abundant life because the passion for the lost and the passion for the nations that will propel you to partner with God will cause you to tap in unto the abundance that God has. Because the 20,000 piece of bread that you give to the 2,000 people, that is the abundance that flow from the hand of the producer through your hand, the hand of the distributor, to the hand of those who are the recipient of God's miracle. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as a friend that come to you tonight, let me tell you something. I am getting sick and tired of wimpy, selfish Christians whose only concern is to themselves. When is God going to heal me? Oh, when is God going to bless me? When is God going to do this and that to me? Let me tell you, He's going to do it, but He's not going to do it the way we used to get it in the past. When you just come to know Jesus, you ask Him and He gave it to you. This time He said, I'm going to give it to you, but by the way around, so to speak. I will give it to you if you take it and give it to somebody else. If you become distributors of my miracle and take the bread from my hand and give it to the 2,000 who are over there, then while you are distributing it to them, you can take the bread and eat it and be satisfied. That is the way I'm going to meet your need. When you allow yourself to distribute to meet the need of others, your need will be met. So may I suggest, ladies and gentlemen, that if you want healing, go pronto to Mercy Hospital. And find somebody there who needs healing. And just ask the Holy Ghost to totally envelop you. Just ask God to speak to you. And make yourself available to God. And say, Lord, this person here in Mercy Hospital, they need healing so badly. Oh, Lord Jesus, help them, God. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Let me suggest to you, you care for the one in Mercy Hospital. Wouldn't surprise me when you walk home and drive back home, whatever it is that ailed you probably would have been gone before you get out from the door of that hospital. It was a couple years back in Jerusalem, in Via Dolorosa. Our tour group were walking up the road where Jesus took to go to Calvary. There's two ladies walking by my sides. Lady A said to me, you know, Lady B there has some trouble. Maybe we should pray for her when we get up to the stations of the cross. When we got a little break, maybe we should pray for her. I said, that's a good suggestion. And Lady B said to me, man, you know, I have a little problem. And I found out that they both have the same problem. Maybe like a migraine or whatever, you know, that, you know, girls have, you know. Or all of us human beings have. Why do I say girls have? You know, all of us human beings have, you know. And so the Lady B said to me, you know, my headache is killing me. Can you guys pray for me? I said, sure, we will do it as soon as we got to the station of the cross, number 7 or whatever that is on Via Dolorosa, we'll pray. So we got to the station, and I said to the two ladies here, I said, you know what, ladies, it is on this road, the very road that we are walking on, that God died. That is where Jesus shed His blood. So I said, girls, if you ever got a chance to get healed, it's right here in this place. Not because of the place, but because of the one who came and walked through here 2,000 years ago and shed His blood so that you and I can be safe and forgiven and healed. So I said, girls, you be ready. So I said, let's pray. And while we are praying, Lady A was just crying her heart out to Lady B. She prayed for her to be healed, totally forgetting that she needs a little help herself. And cry baby over here. Oh, she was asking God to be healed. And she was just amening with the two of us, you know, for her healing. The prayer was over. We continued to walk up Via Dolorosa. Lady A, who didn't ask to be healed, but asked for B to be healed. She was walking like a, you know, happy camper. I mean, whatever her problem, it was gone. She was fine. And the poor lady over here that has been taking in all the whatever, the prayer and the anointing, she was having a hard time. And I don't know what happened with her after the tour was over. But I remember Lady B came to me when we were in the bus and said, you know, it's a perplexing. She was asking and crying and believing God for healing. And she ain't got it, or at least so far. I wasn't worried about my healing. I was concerned for her. I got it, she ain't. What give? I said, well, lady, you just learned a very valuable lesson. If you are a distributor of God's healing, very likely you're going to get what you need. But if you are just a recipient of God's healing, there is a possibility you got it or you maybe not. Because when the receiver and when the distributor come your way, you might be in the other side of the tree and didn't get what you're supposed to get. You never know. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe the time has come where we Christians focus on others. We focus on the nations. We focus on those who are in need. Because when we do, ladies and gentlemen, and we distribute the grace that they need, the healing that they need, and the miracle that they need, when they receive it or don't receive it, you will get what you need. Because that is the way God has set it up to be. And that is what we learn from this story on John chapter 6. So Jesus said to them, have the people sit down. Get them ready. Let them ready for the miracle. So that you can distribute that which I have in mind for them. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to get ready. Because in the coming days, the Holy Ghost is going to work in the church and through the church like we have never seen before. When the Holy Ghost came down to my island 45 years ago, it changed the destiny of my country. Muslims by the millions come to Jesus. Churches by the thousands spring up this last 45 years. I remember July the 7th, 1991, I was in Moscow. 2,500 young people were sitting there, coming from 100 plus university from the former Soviet Republic. It was the Soviet Union at that time. 2,500 young people were there. And we're having a meeting in this sports arena that the Soviet Union built for the 1980 Moscow Olympics. As I was standing up there speaking to the young people, the Lord said to me, tell them that for 70 years you have been under bondage. But the time has come, I will set you free and you will experience my glory as a nation like you have never experienced before. I will destroy the power of communism and there's a new nation that's going to rise from the dustbin of the Soviet Republic that is going to be destroyed. The KGB were everywhere. And after that speech, I got into the taxi, got to the airport, and I got myself out of town. Because I wasn't giving no KGB agent the privilege of asking me any stupid question. And 6 weeks later, ladies and gentlemen, the word of the Lord came through. The Soviet Union, as the second superpower in the world at the time, disappeared in the dustbin of history. Now, people said Ronald Reagan have something to do with it. Probably he did. People said economic situation probably have something to do, and probably it did. People said the socialist system have something to do with it, and the time for it to crumble has come, and probably it is. But let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, from my perspective, it was that day when the word of the Lord was spoken that the angels of the Lord moved and seal the destiny of that nation. Many years later, I went to Siberia and other places and met with many of these young people who were sitting in that meeting on July the 7th. Because 6 weeks later, the Soviet Republic fell apart and became 15 different nations. I remember on January 1st, 1992, I was there in Moscow again. Because ladies and gentlemen, I knew that that was a very historic time. So I was there, I passed by Lenin's tomb. I said, nya, 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 nya. I was getting a little, you know, happy. Because I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, Lenin's still in the tomb. Jesus is in the throne. So I walk by Lenin's tomb and I give him, never mind. Yeah, 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 yeah. I was happy. And then I move over a little bit here in the Red Square. And I stood there as the sun was rising. And on top of the Kremlin, ladies and gentlemen, I saw a sight that probably very many people don't have a chance to see. That is a one-in-a-lifetime experience. All of a sudden, with the sound of the music, when somebody blowing the trumpet, whatever they call it, slowly from the top of the pole in the Kremlin, the hammer and the sickle that has been sitting there or flying there for 70 years slowly came down until finally it got to the bottom and folded up in the hand of the soldiers, whoever they were. And then a minute later, there's a new song was in the air. And slowly, a white and a red and a blue flag rose. It was the flag of the new Russian Republic. And when that flag got to the top, I salute and said, "Thank you, Jesus. You spoke it, you bring it to pass. You are the God who changed the destiny of nations because you are God." 4 months later, Easter Sunday, 1992, I found myself in the same spot. Only this time is not to see the rising of the Russian flag. This time to witness with my own eyes the first Easter in freedom for the Russian people. As I was facing this time this way, the St. Basil Cathedral was in front of me, and the Lenin's tomb, and the Kremlin was to my right. Yeah, 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 yeah. And as I was facing the St. Basil Cathedral, about the sun was rising. And all of a sudden, ladies and gentlemen, from inside that very inner core of the cathedral, they light the first candle. And the man who lighted it is the top guy from the whole Russian Orthodox Church, kind of like the cardinal or the pope. They light the first light in the middle, the inner chamber of St. Basil Cathedral, and pass on the light, and pass on the light. Pretty soon, you know, everybody was in the room, got the light. That is how the Russian Orthodox Church celebrate Easter. They have their own way. And then pretty soon the light get out of the door. And everybody that is out there in the Red Square, they got their little candle lit, including yours truly. Oh, and they raised their little candles and they said, "He's risen!" And the Russians have a way, you know, they don't have this wimpy, you know, happy Easter kind of thing. When they salute each other on Easter Day, one group or one person will say, "He's risen!" And then they respond from you to that person who greeted you. You will say, "He's risen indeed!" And that morning, ladies and gentlemen, the first time in 70 years, reverberated in the whole Red Square, the shout of the thousands and the 10,000 that were there, raising their candle, and they said, "He is risen indeed." And ladies and gentlemen, Jesus changed the course of history. Because since that time, I've been all over that great former Soviet Republic and met young men and young women who were there in that meeting in July the 7th, 1991. They're pastors and missionaries. I was in Mozambique the other day, and this young lady came to me. Her name is Kusa. And Kusa said to me, "Mel, I was there in that particular meeting. And today, I'm bringing the gospel from Russia to Iran and to the Baltic nations. Because we as Russians are able to go to these nations when others couldn't go. And we are there preaching to them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ." Oh, ladies and gentlemen, you can give Jesus a little holler if you want to. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He determined the destiny of nations. He has determined the destiny of the great United States of America. And Ohio is right up front, leading the nations. And I'm honored to be here near Canton, Ohio, the home. I got to say it, you know. Dia mau buat. In a football home, a hall of fame. She forgot. Nah, you didn't. Oh, you don't live here. You're forgiven. But God is going to do something extraordinary this time, my friend. The time has come where each one of you, like the 24,000, let us say a few rabbis coming down the door, coming down the road. They say, hey, Peter, how did he do the miracle? How did he multiply the bread? Peter said, your guess is just as good as mine. But let me tell you something, buddy. You ate it, didn't you?
Yeah.
Then what is all this smart alecky question is all about? You ate it? You are satisfied? Why don't you just beat it and go back home and forget all this smart questioning that you're doing? Americans, I know we are nations of great brilliant minds. But not meaning to offend you in any way, the capability of your brilliance in your mind is limited by the little brain that you have in your skull, created by the God that have created the universe and 7 billion brains beside yours. And so your capacity to understand is 1/7 billion of who he is and a lot more. So may I suggest that you wait until in eternity, that when they run the videos, you can look and see, you know, the Blu-ray DVDs at that time over in the big screen in the skies. Then you can probably figure out how he did it. Because this side of heaven is not the time and the place. The reason being, no offense, you ain't got the capacity to understand it all if he decide to reveal it to you tomorrow. No offense. But that is just the way it is. So my suggestion to you, ladies and gentlemen, to the rabbis, go down to your synagogue and tell them that God has become man. He's the Messiah that you are waiting for. He's the one that's spoken of by Isaiah. He's the one that Abraham was waiting for. He's the one that God told, what's her name, Eve about. You know, I'm always peeve about Eve. Not peeve, but you know Eve. She was born in Canton, Ohio. And the reason I know Amber is because if Eve was born in my little island, when the devil told him and said, hey, look at the apple, Eve will look at it and said, yeah, it's pretty good. But then she will look at the snake and said, ooh, rose snake. And she will clobber that snake, barbecue the stupid snake, and ate it that day, left over for Adam and for the following week. And we, you and I, have no trouble that we got so far, because the girl from Canton took the apple instead of the snake. Yep, you got it, Paul. You will never have this in your theology school. You'll never heard it. But you heard it tonight. Help your professor to, you know, look about it. It's not in the Bible, but it's in the legends of stories from the East, from Indonesia. Half the people sat down. Got them ready. Got them ready for the mission. Got them ready to transform the world. Got them ready to pray for the sick so that the sick can be healed. Got them ready for all the great revelations and the great knowledge that God is going to reveal. Ladies and gentlemen, among the people that were eating and going back home from the mountains at the time, the farmers. Oh, America, America. God is going to release unto the farmers of America a better way of farming, better than what we got so far. So we can produce the food to feed the hungry of the nations. And we'll bring in farmers from Ohio that will go to Mozambique, that will go to Africa and teach them how to farm in a better way. Instead of just sending them the money that end up in the pockets of the leaders, will send in a farmer that will teach the local people how to farm so that they can raise the food and they can thank Jesus while they raise the food and they eat the food. Ladies and gentlemen, the time has come where the electricians, where the builders, where people from all walk of life will go to all the countries of the world. Oh, somebody's going to find our way and a cheaper way how to talk in the cell phones without paying a fortune. And we'll give the missionaries a free ride on it. You know what I mean? And we'll go to the nation and show them how to tap in onto this modern communication that we're going to build in the future. And we're going to see to it, ladies and gentlemen, that technology work for the kingdom and not against the kingdom. All this working against the kingdom, taking technology and doing all the junky thing that has been happening in our generation, that got to stop. But in order to stop it, we Christians got to be the one who control the technology, own the technology, and use it for the purposes of God. It is time, ladies and gentlemen, that we are the head and not the tail, above and not below, leaders and not followers. We have to determine the way technology advances in the future. We have to determine the way a government of nations will rule the people. We have determined how the church needs to rise and fulfill her destiny. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if we don't, then this nation is going to go down to pot. Because the devil loves no people, no nation. And he only comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. Only Jesus comes to bring life and life abundantly. And those of us who are sitting here tonight in this room, we are the one who know the truth. We are the one, ladies and gentlemen, that can make a difference. We are the one who can distribute the miracle from the hand of the producer, Jesus, unto the hand of the recipient, the people in the world who need to hear the gospel, who need to be saved, who need to be healed, who need to change their nations in their agricultures, in their education systems and all that. And Dr. Tom, the time will come where the young people from all these nations will come to the universities in America. And not only they come to learn about high tech and all that they need to learn that our universities are best in, but when they leave this country, they're going to know that it is Jesus who has given them this knowledge. And they're going to bring back the knowledge of Jesus to their countries while they become professors and leaders in their nations. The time has come that we set the tone and we determine the destiny of nations, ladies and gentlemen. And that is why the word of the Lord for you and I tonight is simply this. For those who have passion for the multitude. You ain't here last night, buy the tape because I ain't repeating. It's getting late. But that was the first point that we talked about last night. Passion for the lost. Passion for the Lord. Passion for the multitude. And this morning we talk about partnership with God. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be prepared to distribute the power, the provision that God, the producer, is going to release through our hand to the nations. We got to be prepared for it. That's why he said, let the people sit down. Get them ready. You get them ready. You got yourself ready. Tell the people, sit down in a group of 50, in a group of 100, because I'm coming through with basket of that which you need. I'm coming through. You got to be ready. I'm coming through because I'm God's partner. I have passion for your need. I have passion for the world. I have passion for the lost. I have passion for those who are in need. And I'm partnering with God. I will bring in basket full of supplies that you need and provision that you want. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the Lord spoke to us last night and this morning and tonight, the time of multiplication has come. And even in this ministry here, there are those of you sitting here that God is going to give you the wisdom. He will multiply the income that you have and make it possible for you so you can create not just living to survive, to take care of the family. But I'm speaking to you and say you can create the millions for the work of the kingdom in this generation. God is multiplying the finances. God is multiplying the effect and the influence of the church to the nations of the world. The time has come. God is multiplying his power. God is multiplying His provision. God is releasing His protection, because the plan and the purpose of God will be accomplished in this generation. But you and I must be prepared for it. And how do we prepare tonight? It is very simple. Stand up, please. This is the last night, so everybody come down to the front, please. And I want you to do it not because I ask you. I did, but that isn't the reason. I want you to do it because you want to. When you walk down tonight, you walk down saying to yourself, I'm getting ready. I'm preparing. I'm preparing to be that which God has created me to be. I'm preparing. I'm preparing. I'm preparing to be the next senator from Ohio for the Senate of the United States of America. I'm preparing to be the next congressman from this county over here, or wherever, however you divvy it up here in Ohio. You know, when 2012 or 2014 come along, whatever. I'm preparing to be the professor that will teach the young people that come from the nations, and they will know about Jesus, and they'll get the revelation knowledge as to what God is releasing in the world, the new technologies and the new ideas and the new inventions. I'm preparing myself to be the one who's going to get it. The one who's going to get it, ladies and gentlemen, are the one who is prepared and ready for it. If you're ready, you're going to get a little closer. I'm not biting. Come on. No, you just come in tonight, so that's okay. You're forgiven for being a little shy, but press in a little bit here. You got ready. You got ready for something greater than what you have seen in your life. Farmers here got ready. God can tell you how to grow the crop. It used to be only twice a year. What about a year? It's only 100 bushel an acre for whatever. What about 500 bushel? What about 1,000 bushel an acre? And you don't necessarily have to go through a chemical that destroys the land either. There's a better way to do things. There's a God way to do things. And I don't have a clue what it is, but God does. Somebody here. Somebody here be ready. Somebody here be ready. So that you can be the doctor in a Mercy, hospital. I mean, the university, they have the university medical centers, you know, where they do all kind of testing and learning and, you know, clinical tests and all that. Somebody here got to be ready, because you will be the one that know exactly what made cancer to kill people, and you're going to know exactly how to reverse the power of cancer in people's bodies. Somebody, get ready for it. These young minds, get ready for it. This young minds, hey, I'm got ready for it myself. God give it to me. You don't take it, I'll take it, and I'll take the Nobel Prize for it. That will make you throw up. But somebody got ready for it. Somebody got ready for it. Somebody got ready to go to the nations and stand there and preach the gospel. Stand, stretch for your hand and see the dead raised and see the people healed. Somebody got ready tonight. Oh, we're going to get ready tonight, ladies and gentlemen, with a heart that is passionate for God and for the lost. Oh, pray tonight, Lord Jesus. Somebody repeat after me, please, from your heart. Lord Jesus, give me a passion for you and a passion for the lost. A passion for the nations. I'm ready tonight. Fill my heart with your Holy Spirit, with your purpose. I'm ready to make a difference in my world, to change the destiny of nations. I'm ready to receive knowledge and revelation. I want to make a difference where you have called me to be. Either in the realm of government. Business and economy, school and universities, churches, counties, states. Lord, I want to make a difference in my world. You are the producer. I am the distributor. And the nations will be the recipient of your grace. I submit to you tonight. From this night on, we turn the table against the forces of the evil one, the forces that is against this nation, the forces that is against your church. We turn the table against them, and we release the power of the Holy Ghost to change the destiny of nations, including this nation of mine, in our universities, in our cities, in our states, and in the nations of the world. I'm ready, Lord. Help me to be ready. My heart is open. My heart is open. I receive of your grace. And I'll distribute your grace to the nations. I will bring healing to the sick, comfort to the uncomforted, joy to the one who is sad, life to those who are dead. I will be the distributor of your grace. So help me, God. In the name of Jesus, I'm ready.
I'm ready
for the commission, for the task. So Holy Ghost, I'm yours. Use me, because I'm totally surrender. Tonight, the rest of my life, I'm yours. So use me for your pleasure, for the blessing of the nations, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let us sing a song here before you go, okay?
The sound of nations worshiping. Sons and daughters singing, who will go for us, who will shout.